In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The reading of the second week of the blessed month of Kehk, as we just heard, is about the annunciation of the birth of the Messiah, Archangel Gabriel coming to Saint Mary and telling her about the incarnation of the Son of God through her. And we notice in the conversation that Saint Mary only asked one question. And actually, if we meditate upon what the news that was brought to her, we find that typically there are many questions that anyone in her shoe would ask. Actually, we can maybe think of ourselves when we are asked about something related to God or serving Him or being in a relationship with Him. Sometimes we have many questions to ask, and these questions are typical among all of us. Let us review them and see what these questions that Saint Mary did not ask, and sometimes they are hindrance for us to work with God, our salvation and the salvation of others. These questions are, how is the Lord with me? This is the first thing that the angel told her. The Lord is with you. And then this is a question that by logic, how is the Lord with me? The second one is, do I have to do this? The third one is, why me? If this is something need to be done, why not somebody else? The fourth question is, what is in it for me? What exactly the benefits or the rewards or anything that I'm going to benefit from this mission? The fifth question is, then what? Okay, now I heard you, but then what? What are the details? And the sixth, the common question or typical question is, what about? These questions are about conditions and conveniences. And as we will see now, most of these questions we ask, and unfortunately, some of them, they reflect that we are lacking understanding and maybe lacking seriousness in working with God. The first question is, how is the Lord with me? Saint Mary was an orphan, and she was given to the temple when she was 3 years old. She did not live her childhood like others. There is no kind of enjoyment in the, like as a child. No parents to take care of her, and she was dedicated only to the life of prayers in the temple. If we look at this, we can see that this lifestyle is difficult, is hard. And she could have asked herself, why do you say the Lord is with me? I was denied my childhood. I was denied the life that any child would be dreaming with. Gideon actually said the same question when the angel appeared to him and told him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. Gideon, the first question that came to his mind, how is the Lord is with us? O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Sometimes we relate difficulties in life that God is not with us. God has abandoned us. We are going through tribulation. This means that the Lord is not with us. Sometimes, yes, we separate ourselves from Him and we are denied grace because of our choices. But this is not the case here. Going through difficulties in life does not mean always that the Lord abandoned us. With the same meaning also, we find Martha, the sister of Lazarus, asking or saying this statement to the Lord when she met Him, when He came to comfort her and to raise Lazarus afterward. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you are with us, we wouldn't go into this. If you are with me, O Lord, I wouldn't go through these tribulations or endure this suffering. I wouldn't have a sick person in my family or a person that loses his life. If you are with us, then we should not go into this. This is not the case. And this is not actually what we learned from the scripture. The Lord was with Gideon and with his brother. The Lord is with Saint Mary, even though being with them did not spare them going into this fiery furnace of trial. But He helped them out and He worked wonders through them. The second typical question is, do I have to? Whenever we are asked to work with God, or work something for him, this question bobs up into our minds. Why I have to do this? If we notice carefully, we'll find that God's plans always need a person to work with him. God did not work any solo in the scripture, where he does things on his own. Yes, in some occasions where no one else can deliver, he interfered and he did what he wanted to do to deliver his people. But if we look carefully, the salvation of everyone is the combined work of God and man. Unfortunately, this basic knowledge from the scripture is now communicated in the community, in the culture around us, speaking about grace alone, have nothing to do, nothing important actually you can do in order to save yourself. Let us look at the scripture and see the question about do I have to. In the Passover lamb, we found God is bringing plagues upon Egypt nine times. None of the nine times worked to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. But only when the people worked with him, in the tenth plague, the Passover lamb, they have something to do. They have to bring the lamb and slain it, bring the blood, put it on the doorpost, and then God is going to bring deliverance. So what is the end message here? You need to work with me. I'm not going to deliver you by my own power. I need your contribution. The healing of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he was one of the king of Israel. Then he cried and he asked God if he can extend his life. And God sent him a message through Isaiah that your life is going to be extended for 15 years. That's it. It should be enough. But we find that he has something to do. Still, even with a promise, even while God told him you are going to live, then Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and apply it to as a poultice. Poultice is like a piece of cloth that's like hot, and they put it on a wound, on the boil, and he shall recover. That's why we give the doctor a place. We ask for the help from professionals whenever indicated. Yes, God is the one who is going to bring healing, but also someone maybe need to work with God. The healing of Naaman the Syrian. Elisha said to him, you have to go and wash yourself in the river Jordan. Why? Why do I have to do this? Can't you heal me by a word, by saying something, by praying to me? Actually, Naaman stumbled for some time and he kept on questioning if this is something important. Only when he obeyed and he went into the Jordan River, then he received healing to his infirmity. The same also in the story of the man born blind. The Lord came to him and he made mud. He put it in his eyes. He asked him to go and wash. Lord, can't you heal him with the word of your mouth? Yes, I can. Can't you just say something and his sight will be restored? Yes, I can. But I need you to work with me. You need to obey and trust. And you go and wash. He went, he washed his eyes, and he came back seeing. Moving also the stone from Lazarus' tomb. The Lord who raised the dead definitely can make this stone to fall. But he still asked them, move the tomb. This is your part. Then I am going to do the part you cannot do. I will raise the dead when you move the stone. In the story of feeding the multitude, the 5,000 men, someone has to contribute the 5 loaves and 2 fish before the Lord is going to bless them and work this miracle to feed everyone. Saint Mary could have asked, do I have to? Didn't you say at the end of the message that there is nothing impossible for God? Why can't he just come? He has his body and he gets without me going into this trouble. Like exactly when we ask, do I have to fast? Do I have to pray with the Agbaya? Do I have to attend all of the liturgy? Can I attend part of it? Do I have to come to the praises? Do I have to? Do I have to? This question says that we are not serious enough, or we do not understand that there is a role for me to work. There is something in the story of my salvation and the salvation of the people around me that has to do about me working with God. No matter how small is my role, I have to do it before God brings deliverance, healing, or salvation. The third question that's typical, that St. Mary did not ask, why me? You know, when people are called to serve, usually this question brings them into two extremes. The first one is the temptation of pride. I ask myself, why me? And then I come to the conclusion that I am better than others. I am called because I have something in me that God saw that's not actually in the people around me. Then, typically, the person goes into pride. This is what happened to Israel. They did not think of the calling of God to them to be the nation that's going to reveal His glory to others as something that's pertaining to a service. They thought of it as honor, dignity. We are the people of God, and then others are dogs. This is what they concluded from the calling. Other people think of it in another way. They grumble. Why me? Can't you ask for somebody else? Like by the hand of whomever else you may send. Send somebody else. I am not ready for this. There is a stewardship that unfortunately many of us fall short. That's the stewardship of helping and serving our own families. We are very good when we are asked to serve others. We may walk distance. We labor and work hard, maybe for days, in order to do something at the church. But whenever we are asked maybe to wash a dish in the house or take care of a person there, a sick person here or there, then the question is, why me? Why not my brother or sister? Do I have to do this all the time? Why there is no fairness here? And we grumble against this. We can serve hundreds of people, but one member in the family, there is difficulty. I can go and pick up someone from his house, maybe 20, 30 miles away, and bring him or her to the church. But I cannot wait for my mom or my dad to pick them to the church if they need it, like this kind of service. Why me? Unfortunately, again, this question hinders many to serve, feeling it's a burden, I do not want to do it. The fourth question that was not asked by St. Mary, what is in it for me? You know this question, usually people who are taught to go and sell or market something, they give a message you have to convey to the customer. The customer has to find something important to him in order for him to buy the product. What is it in it for me? St. Mary did not ask this question. By the way, St. Mary was not in need, or I'm sorry to say this, was not waiting for something in order to make her good. This is not going to get her in heaven. She would go to heaven anyhow. So there is no reward in here to go to heaven, because simply she's a righteous person, she would go to heaven anyway. And she was not afraid of punishment. She could have said, no, I can't. And the angel are not going to leave her upset. She could have said no without being like afraid of punishment or missing a reward. But she did not ask this question, what is in it for me? It didn't cross her mind. It's exactly like her Lord and Son. What is in it for God to come to us in the flesh? What did He benefit from when He took the form of a servant and came to us? If you can give me one thing related to Him, there is nothing. He did it only for others, for the pleasure of saving mankind, and she did it also for the same reason. The selfish question about what is in it for me was not asked in any way, even in her mind. What do I benefit from this? Even when we are called to serve, sometimes we think about it. Is this going to bring something to me? Am I going to take some gain out of it? You know, the typical example of this, when we fight in the service, when we struggle and we push one another in order for us to serve, what kind of service is this? Definitely, this is not related to God, because this is not God's way. There is something to do with us. I want to gain something. Don't think that when you push others, you take a blessing. Don't think that when you do something on the expense of losing your brother or sister, that God is going to bless you. If you think, or you think this way, look at the service of the Pharisees. There is something in it. Yes, they look like they are preaching to others, but there is something they are gaining. The honor that they take from the law. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They are serving, giving to the church, but meanwhile, I want still to have both. Giving and being honored from the church, and keeping something even by lying to Saint Peter. Simon the sorcerer, who converted to Christianity in Acts chapter 8. Yes, he became Christian, but he still, what is in it for me? Can I have the Holy Spirit and I do miracles, and this become my new magic? This is what he was thinking. What is in it for me? Sometimes when we are called to work something with God, we think this way. What is in it for me? If I pray the Agbeya Bona, this means that I'm going to have good grades at school. If I fast, does it mean that I'm going automatically to be admitted to the school that I want, or I find the right person that I'm looking for? I'm going to do this to receive this. But this is not how Saint Mary or her son, the Lord Christ, thought of the mission. There is nothing personal, nothing I gain for myself. Actually, everything they went through the way of incurring many losses and expenses in order for others to be saved. The fifth question, then what? Okay, yes, okay, I will accept it. Then what? We always feel tempted to know what's next, what will happen in a few years. And this is something we all worry whenever we are called to serve or we are called to work with God. Then what's going to happen afterward? If I am faithful, if I do this, then what's going to happen in the coming maybe year or two or three or five? You know, everyone who worked with God knows it's not God's way to reveal the plan all the way. When he called Abraham, he didn't tell him, you come after me, I will walk with you, and then you will have a son when you are 100, you have to wait for a few years, and then this is going to happen, and this and this and this, at the end, you will be Abraham, the father of all the believers throughout the whole history. Just one word, follow me, and that's it. Where? Didn't ask, and God did not tell. If we work with God, we should not be thinking of the many calculations about then what. In the same way, also Joseph, God showed him a vision, a dream. He's going to be a master over his brothers. How? No details. What's going to happen? They are now putting me in trouble. I am sold as a slave to the Egyptians. Working hard ended up for me going to jail. Then what? Nothing. In due time, the plans are going to be revealed. We, knowing God, we should work with him day by day. We do his commandment today. The question about then what should not be in the way of serving and walking with him. Then the last question is, what about? This is a question about conveniences, conditions. Saint Mary could have asked the question about, what about others who are going to see me pregnant? How am I going to answer this? What about waiting for some time? 18? Can you wait until I'm 18 or something so I'll be ready for this? What about Joseph the carpenter? Can you in any way handle him? What about the status that I'm living in? What about many questions about conditions? I would be willing to go if you solve this for me. Like when sometimes people are called to serve and they keep on giving questions. What about this? What about that? Coming to the church. What about my work? What about my study? What about this? What about that? What does it say mean? What does this say? It says that we are not really into it. A person with the heart of a servant only is minded with his duties, his obligations. What do I need to do? There is no conditions between me and God. There is nothing called, if you do this, I will do that. There is no conditions. If you God do this, if you bless me with that, if you offer this for me, if I change my job, if I have this, then I'm going to serve you. A true servant would never ever make some conditions or ask for convenience in order to serve God. All of these questions are typical. None of them were asked by Saint Mary. She is giving us an example of a dedicated and devout servant. A girl that her heart was with God. The only question she asked was about the process. How? I don't know a man. Never happened before that a girl would be found pregnant without man. This is the only question she asked, and then she submitted to God. I am the maid servant. Let it be to me according to your word. May the Lord bestow upon us this kind of heart that's submissive to Him, willing to serve with nothing personal, with no personal gain attached to whatever we are going to do. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.